for another Anti-Friday, but that's just the way it is. But that means we get back together again, so raise your Monday morning glass. Sure, I like it. It works for me. Welcome to the 30th of September, the last day of the month, which means after today, it'll be 2 weeks before people go, gosh, what happened to the month again? Gosh.
Well, it's almost Halloween. We're getting close.
Right there. And party time, but we'll talk about it. We're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. We know us on Facebook and Twitter and all those crazified types of places. The folks that are bringing the tea today, well, the lady who's ready to start off another week, giving herself that mantra to push through. It's the Flintstress.
You ready?
Higher, further, faster, baby.
That's right.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Me, I'm doing my usual one. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Oh, good grief.
What happened this fine day, yo?
Well, let's take it back to 1882. The world's first commercial hydroelectric power plant, later known as Appleton Edison Light Company, begins operation on the Fox River in Appleton, Wisconsin.
1888, Jack the Ripper emerged once again from the shadows of London's East End to prey on his favorite target, female prostitutes. Elizabeth Stride and Catherine Eddowes were brutally attacked and murdered within an hour in the night known as the Double Event.
In 1889, the Bundy Manufacturing Company, a maker of time recording equipment, is incorporated. It's the first of many components that eventually become the Computing Tabulating Recording Company, CTR, which will later become International Business Machines Corporation, IBM.
Whoa. 1890, Thomas Edison is granted a patent for telegraphy, a phonograph, a phonographic recorder, a method of making phonographic blanks, a propelling device for electrical cars, and other things he stole from Tesla.
Yeah. In 1915, a memorandum from David Sarnoff, contracts manager of RCA, to Edward J. Nally, vice president and general manager of the Marconi Wireless Telegraph Company of America, proposes the idea of a radio music box, a multi-frequency radio receiver that would become a household utility. This may be the first conception of the radio that will later be used commonly in households and car.
For a while. 1929, an early manned rocket-powered flight is made by German automaker Fritz von Opel. His Sander Rack 1 is a glider powered by 16 50-pound thrust rockets. In it, Opel makes a successful flight of 75 seconds, spanning nearly 2 miles near Frankfurt am Main, Germany.
In 1941, John Malchi writes to John Atanasoff, suggesting a cooperative effort to develop the first electronic computer. The offer will be declined, and the two will later enter into a bitter dispute as to who will receive credit for eventually creating the first computer, but it's a matter that will be taken to the court, and a judge will rule in favor of Dr. Atanasoff.
1948, the FCC freezes all television broadcast license applications pending further study of technical developments, most notably the development of color transmissions. Interference between adjacent stations' transmitters has become a major issue. Stop with your high power nonsense.
In 1954, the world's first submarine with a nuclear reactor, the USS Nautilus, is commissioned by the U.S. Navy at Groton, Connecticut.
1969, RCA demonstrates the holotape video playback system before its audio component had been completed. The system will later become the first to bear the name Selectivision, which was abandoned by RCA 3 years later in favor of magnetic tape technology, the VCR.
Ooh. In 1982, H. Ross Perot and J. Colburn complete the first circumnavigation of the world in a helicopter, a model Bell 206 Jet Ranger called the Spirit of Texas.
Wouldn't that take us longer? Yeah. Wouldn't we get bored? Yeah. You're right. Let's do it. Same day, same year. This is when the cyanide-laced Tylenol kills 6 people in the Chicago area, 7 people killed in total, and this is why bottles are so hard to open for adults now.
Mm-hmm. In 1998, Pokemon Red and Blue debut in North America.
1999, Amazon.com opens Z Shops and adds 500,000 products into an online mall environment.
It'll never catch on. In 2001, the television series Alias, created by J.J. Abrams and starring Jennifer Garner, premieres on the ABC network with the episode Truth Be Told.
2003, Microsoft Game Studios releases Halo Combat Evolved for personal computers in the U.S., which a lot of folks argue is where it should have been all along.
Universal Pictures, same year, released the sci-fi adaptation film Time Cop 2, The Berlin Decision, directed by Steve Boyum and starring Jason Scott Lee, Thomas Ian Griffith, and, well, direct-to-video.
Oh, really? 2004, Microsoft discontinued support for Windows XP operating systems without releasing a final service pack. You know, that computer that you're probably working on now.
In 2005, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signs a bill into law that makes phishing a civil offense, leaving violators liable for actual damages of $500,000 per violation, whatever is greater.
Same day, same year, Universal Pictures releases the sci-fi film Serenity, directed by Joss Whedon, starring Nathan Fillion, Summer Glau, you know, the entire crew. And
yeah.
Fine. And then that one moment, gosh, birthdays?
Ezra Miller is 27, Perks of Being a Wallflower, Trainwreck, Fantastic Beasts, and Flash from the DCU movies.
And he's been in two, technically. Lacey Chabray is 37 from Party of Five, The Wild Thornberries, the original Meg on Family Guy, Lost in Space, and let's not forget her killer performance in Mean Girls.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. Jenna Elfman is 48 from Gross Point Blank, Dharma and Greg, Looney Tunes back in action.
Tony Hale is 49 from Arrested Development, Veep, and my choice if you're ever going to redo The Wizard of Oz for The Cowardly Lion.
Okay. Monica Bellucci is 55 from Matrix Reloaded and Revolutions, Passion of the Christ, and Spectre.
She had that wonderful moment in Bram Stoker's Dracula. Okay, two moments. Eric Stoltz is 58 from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, the original Marty McFly in Back to the Future, Mask, The Fly 2, Pulp Fiction, Anaconda.
Fran Drescher is 62 from UHF, Cadillac Man, and The Nanny.
Barry Williams is 65. That's Greg from The Brady Bunch, wow. Greg from The Brady Kids, Greg from The Brady Bunch Hour, not Greg from Mega Piranha.
Fran Brill is 73. That's Zoe from Sesame Street, Being There, and What About Bob?
Lynn Carew is 80, the original Sweeney Todd on Broadway. Blue Bloods as well.
Angie Dickinson is 88 from Ocean's 11, Policewoman, Big Bad Mama, and Dressed to Kill.
And this is not the usual place I do this, but you know, Policewoman happens to be where Chad and Abby were last week.
Whoa.
So there it is. Congratulations, everybody, for the folks who sent stuff in. We do appreciate it. And I'd like to say that for the month of September, Paul, congratulations.
Yay, good job, Paul.
You have won for this month, Paul. So you should message me, or I guess I should message you, since it's kind of my responsibility. That makes sense. And now, back to our regularly scheduled show. No longer with us, born in 1832, Ann Jarvis, an American activist, co-founded Mother's Day.
Born in 1861, William Wrigley Jr., American businessman, founded Wrigley Company.
1924, Truman Capote, murdered by death, wrote Breakfast at Tiffany's, wrote In Cold Blood. That stupid hut from the original Clone Wars movie sounds a lot like Truman Capote. Cool guy, ignore the hut. That's what I usually do.
Mm-hmm. Well, on TV tonight on CBS, we get a new The Neighborhood, Bob Hart's Abishola, and Lola attempts to keep an ICE agent from going after a defendant, an undocumented immigrant, who was arrested for warning people about spoiled goods that a grocery store was trying to sell on the premiere of All Rise. And, oh, a new wolf.
ABC, it's movie night on a new Dancing with the Stars and The Good Doctor.
NBC has The Blind Auditions Part 3 on a new The Voice, and Anthony and Jake work on a case regarding a stolen barbecue sauce recipe on Bluff City Law.
New York City! Fox, Buck, and Christopher's lives are put in harm's way in the wake of a massive tsunami that collides into the famous Santa Monica Pier on a new 911. I guess this takes place in Santa Monica, and Prodigal Son.
Sure. On the CW, virtual reality on a new Penn & Teller Fool Us, and two new Whose Lines.
Freeform is showing Monsters Incorporated.
On AMC, Amy must take action when a powerful nemesis torments her on a new The Terror and a new Lodge 49.
Bravo, Sandy accuses Hannah of having no passion for yachting and wonder if they'll ever charter together again. It's a new Below Deck Mediterranean.
On FX, Daddy's Home.
FXX, The Simpsons Marathon, The Blue and the Gray, The Scorpion's Tale, and Love is a mini strangled thing.
FXN has Independence Day Resurgence.
NGC lost Giants on a new Drain the Oceans.
On BBC America, The Patriot.
Sundance has True Grit, the original.
Oh, sci-fi Jeepers Creepers 2.
Not as good as the first, but it's
the answer's where you got those peepers.
TBS, wow. The crew managed to recover the dimensional keys from the Dark Zone and continue their rescue to free Bolo from the recesses of inner space on a new Final Space.
TNT is showing Doctor Strange.
And we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a marriage counselor puts herself in a bad situation when she ignites a relationship with one of her womanizing patients behind her neglecting husband's back. But what starts off as a fling turns into a dangerous obsession. Journey Smollett, Lance Gross, Vanessa L. Williams, Brandy, and Kim Kardashian star in Temptations, Confessions of a Marriage Counselor.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Abby and her crew were searching for a new home for the human race. The colonization is difficult, as every EVE online player knows. Some government forces want to destroy the ship of the colonists, but they manage to escape and arrive in orbit around a suitable planet. There, the crew has to face some technical problems as they crash land on the planet and find out the planet's inhabited by intelligent humanoid life forms who kidnapped Johnny. But Abby brokers a deal and Johnny is returned, healed and healthy. The crew didn't have any ideas at all, and Abby was even stuck till she had her Eureka moment, #Chabby. Forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Hi, geeks. The saddest thing, Aaron and his widow can't be there for each other when ads take over their DVR. I'm going to miss him. I loved his work as Nog. I actually enjoy some ads and wish there was a way I could pick which ads I see and hear. I need some reminders. Amanda Weldon of the Stories Podcast is the only one who reads terms and conditions at a normal, conversational pace, and I love her for that. Any company that does that sneaky, deceptive, fast talk at the end of their ad, I just write off that company and resolve never to buy for them, can't trust them. You know, I've had that so often in radio world that occasionally I will slow them down. I will make room to slow them down so you can hear what they say. I know I'm a bad person. And I need to check on something now, maybe more later. Thanks for being there from us. That is from Bill. Well, Bill, thank you for being there as well, man. I mean, otherwise, this stuff just doesn't make sense. You realize when I read that nonsense very quick at the end, it's because I'm being silly, right? Gosh, I hope so, because otherwise, you just ignore us and walk away. If you'd like to drop us a note, why don't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. If you'd like to tell us where you think Chad and Abby are this week so you can be a big winner at the end of the month like Paul just was, woo ball, by all means, drop us a note on the voicemail line. Won't you just dial
510-GRD-CREW. It's been a while since anybody's left us a voicemail.
Gosh, I hope it's somebody's birthday next Monday for this week's show.
If you want to check out something really cool, you need to tune in to the TriTac podcast. What's that you say? TriTac? What's a TriTac? TriTac is one of the oldest role-playing companies around. They make games like
Friendsworth, Euro 13, FTL 2448, Incursion, Hardwired Hinterland, Weird Zone, Beach Bunny Bimbos with Blasters.
Designed for D20 and Savage Worlds, these games will kick your dice into overdrive. Whether you want to combat the denizens of the underworld, travel the galaxy, get crazy with bimbos, or travel the multiverse and do it all, TriTac has you covered. Go to TriTacGamers.com to see what it's all about. That's TriTacGamers.com. And check out our weekly podcast at TriTacSystems.podbean.com. Or simply enter keyword TriTac in iTunes. You're gonna love it.
Hi, this is Gareth David Lloyd, and you are listening to Geek Radio Daily with Billy Flynn.
With Billy Flynn.
Indeed you are. We did not talk about him during the break. We didn't. That was somebody else.
Nope.
Somebody else entirely. Well, folks, go see you.
Well, this week's 10, last week's 8. Angel Has Fallen made another $1.5 million. It's made a little over 67 in the 6 weeks.
This week's 9, last week's 6. The Lion King, another $1.6 million. $540 million in 11 weeks on a 260 budget. I can't wait for their Lion King 1.5.
Right? This week's 8, last week's 7, Good Boys made another $2 million. It's made $80 million on a 20 budget. Yeah, we'll probably see Good Boys too.
Gooder Boys. This week's 7's a new one, Judy, making $3 million. No word on budget, but there you go.
This week's 6, last week's 3, Rambo Last Blood, made another $8.5 million. It's made a little over 33 in 2 weeks.
This week's 5, last week's 2, Ed Asner. Ad Astra, making $10 million. It's made $35 million in 2 weeks. No word on a budget.
This week's 4, last week's 4, It Chapter 2 made another $10.4 million. It's made almost $194 million. Wow.
20% less CGI. This week's 3, last week's 5, Hustlers, $11 million. It's made $80 million in 3 weeks on a $20 million budget.
I want to see that. This week's 2, last week's 1, Downton Abbey made $14.5 million. It's made almost $59 million in 2 weeks.
The number one movie in America is Abominable, making $20.8 million in its start. It's got a $75 million budget, so we'll see if it's got the legs, because you know what's coming next week, right? I'm sure you do.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Spider-Man is back in the MCU. We've been talking about it all weekend. After publicly parting ways over a deal gone south, Disney/Marvel and Sony are back at the table, struck a deal that would see Marvel produce another Spider-Man film for Sony, and they've already got a date, July 16th, 2021. John Watts, wow, the filmmaker behind the previous two, is probably going to direct as well.
Well, welcome back, Spidey. Glad you got unsnapped from the Marvel Universe.
Kevin Feige released the usual style of statement. Spider-Man's a powerful icon and hero whose story crosses all ages and audiences across the globe. He happens to be the only hero with the superpower to cross cinematic universes. So as Sony continues to develop their own Spideyverse, you never know what surprises the future might hold.
Wait, are they going to bring back the spinoffs to the MCU as well?
It's a great question. In 2015, Marvel and Sony unveiled an unprecedented intra-studio partnership that produced two well-regarded massive hits, but took the characters, movie rights owned by Sony, put him in the Marvel Universe, where he's become one of the key players, some could argue currently the most important one.
Well, yeah, they made him the heart of the universe, and then they acted like they could do without him.
Terms of the new deal were not revealed, but it will allow Marvel and its chief, Feige, to produce and run Creative Point on one more movie that would star Tom Holland, the actor who is currently the incarnation of the web-slinging superhero. Depending on how things go, more movies could be coming. That, or they'll use this movie to close him off from the Marvel Universe. But a heavy rumor is that we might finally get a flashback to what happened to Uncle Ben in this version of the story. Uncle Ben, of course, played by Tobey Maguire.
See, I was thinking that Tom Holland would have black hair in the dance sequence. Well, Batwoman star Ruby Rose revealed she was almost left paralyzed after suffering a stunt injury, which required emergency surgery.
Okay, now this is just a PR story, right? To talk about how badass the show is.
No, she shared the news in a personal video posted to her Instagram account. She captioned the video with the message, "To everyone asking about my new Pez dispenser, a scar on my neck. A couple of months ago, I was told I needed an emergency surgery or I would become paralyzed. I had herniated two discs doing stunts, and they were close to severing my spinal cord. I was in chronic pain and yet couldn't feel my arms."
Damn, did the Joker think she was Jason Todd?
Well, she went on to thank the doctor for everything he did, while also answering the question of why she allowed the surgery to be video recorded. And to anyone asking why I let them record it, well, did you not watch that Grey's Anatomy episode where they left the towel in a patient? She joked. Also, I wanted to see what happens when we go under the knife.
Do I get a copy of that video if I sign up for the streaming service?
Written by Carolyn Dries and produced by Berlanti Productions and Warner Brothers Television, Batwoman stars Ruby Rose, Rachel Skarsten, Megan Tandy, Camris Johnson, Doug Ray Scott, Elizabeth Anwis, and Nicole Kang. The series will premiere on Sunday, October 6th, super excited, and air on Sundays at 8 p.m. You'll see part of her recovery process in the show, as there will be several salmon ladder scenes.
God, I hope so.
She could do them with Arrow.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have no problems with that.
Nope.
Finally, some good news for our world. Mara Jade is officially part of Star Wars canon, thanks to some writing in Star Wars Galaxy Edge. Mara Jade, the redheaded, force-sensitive assassin who was a vital part of Star Wars' expanded universe. She was Hand of the Emperor. She became the wife of Luke Skywalker. She became one of the most popular characters ever introduced. But she was made non-canon thanks to Disney and Lucasfilm making those stories legends.
Well, what happens if you did need a diplomat who could also practice philosophy, fight with a lightsaber, and levitate small objects? I mean, who else are you going to call?
Ever since the decision was made, Mara Jade fans have made their interest in her becoming canon known. Lucasfilm has made other parts of the EU canon over the years, namely Grand Admiral Thrawn through Star Wars Rebels, but there has been no such plans for Mara Jade. It appeared this may be on purpose, as Star Wars canon under Disney has kind of used all of her stories already. However, she has now finally been confirmed as part of the Star Wars canon thanks to an unexpected source.
Yeah, it's true. Now tell me who blabbed so I can go cut his head off.
As shared on Reddit by u/moredivine, Star Wars Galaxy Edge confirmed Mara Jade is part of canon and alive. The user shared an image of writing in a bathroom stall at the park, which when entered into the Galaxy's Edge translation portion of the park's app says, "Mara Jade lives."
Well, I didn't translate it because I thought it said, "For a good time, call Gardula the Hutt."
After years of hope that Mara Jade could debut in a movie, TV show, or even, you know, a book or comic that's canon, it's a Galaxy's Edge bathroom that finally brings her into place. Galaxy's Damn. Edge is set between the events of Star Wars The Last Jedi and Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker, so this detail could confirm she is alive at this time.
But is her number 8675309?
That said, there's no way of knowing when this was first written, but the fact the team behind Galaxy's Edge included this detail at all signals that Mara Jade either is still walking around the galaxy far, far away, or that at this time, or that she at least once was.
Did you hear that? Like someone in the distance shouting. Of course I'm up to it. I haven't felt so obnoxiously healthy since, well, in a while.
Now that Mara Jade is confirmed to be part of canon, the question becomes, when will the Star Wars franchise actually do something with her? As of right now, that's the only mention in the current canon, but this could have been done to tease fans that more is coming. There's rumors already that she's going to be in The Rise of Skywalker. That kind of teases it. Meanwhile, there's also the possibility The Mandalorian could feature her, and Jon Favreau refused to answer a question if any former EU characters would be on the show. Even if neither of these appearances happen, the fact that Mara Jade is now officially part of Star Wars canon means she could pop up in other canon materials before too long. And the distant voice I hear says, "As long as I'm fighting, I'm not dying, and I'm not done fighting just yet."
But before he sadly passed away last November, the final months of Stan Lee's life were a seemingly endless back and forth of legal entanglements and allegations of elder abuse as various parties sought to control the wealth and intellectual property of the legendary comics writer. Now those legal battles are being continued by his daughter, J.C. Lee.
Like father, like daughter.
The new suit revives claims from a prior billion-dollar lawsuit filed against the company on Lee's behalf back in May 2018, which alleges that POW executives, including Champion, took advantage of Lee's deteriorating health in an attempt to sell his intellectual property, name, and likeness rights to Chinese holding company Camsing International. As part of the confusing status over just who was speaking on Lee's behalf, from not just a legal standpoint, but even across his social media feeds, that lawsuit was dropped 2 months later, with POW taking control over Lee's social media account in the process. POW gains control of Stan Lee's Twitter account and promises full transparency.
I was enjoying not having to talk about horrible people taking advantage of Stan the Man. I really was.
Well, the new suit, however, stretches back even before POW's formation in 2001, as Lee also hopes to gain access to part of her father's IP stored in a self-named holding company set up in the wake of Marvel's bankruptcy and her father's departure from the publisher in the mid-90s. Although, in the time since his departure and the foundation of POW, Lee rekindled his relationship with the publisher in 2005, to the tune of a reported $10 million settlement, as well as an honorary chairman emeritus title at the company and a reported annual $1 million stipend. The filed complaint against POW is framed by J.C. Lee as an opportunity for the Lee Survivors Trust and herself to remedy the wrongs inflicted by trusted business associates over the last two decades.
Why do I get the feeling the story is going to be a Disney Plus original film?
Well, this is not the first time J.C. Lee has become embroiled in the murky circumstances which surrounded her father in his final years. An initial allegation over elder abuse of her father emerged. Public court documents were released alleging that J.C. had verbally and physically abused both of her parents in the final months of their lives over access to a car leased in Stan Lee's name. We talked about this enough. It will certainly seem as if Stan was being treated poorly, and now his daughter will vindicate her dad. Enough said.
And what's a week without some sad news? Robert Garrison, who had the best line as Tommy in any of the Karate Kid films, died Friday at age 59.
Man.
He'd been in a West Virginia hospital and specialty facility in Pennsylvania for some time dealing with multiple health issues, according to his family. In addition to the Karate Kid role, he was known for a variety of TV appearances. He was a regular on a bunch of your 80s, you know, traditional shows.
Yeah.
Robert spent more than a month in hospitals while suffering problems with his kidneys and liver, according to his sister-in-law. The actor's families are reportedly in the process of planning funeral arrangements. His biggest role, of course, was the 84 martial arts drama The Karate Kid with Ralph Macchio and Pat Morita. Garrison played Tommy, one of the members of Cobra Kai's dojo, where students were taught a violent and unethical form of karate. But in the 86 sequel, he gets the line, "Get him a body bag! Yeah!"
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Exactly. He made a brief return to acting with a role in the 2011 film The Pledge, but didn't return to screen again until earlier this year with an episode of the second season of YouTube's Cobra Kai. He even tweeted about it. "Thanks everyone for your wonderful comments on my appearance on Cobra Kai. Makes me feel great. Had a wonderful time doing it." He is survived by his brother Patrick and his sister-in-law Linda. Patrick said, "My brother was a fun-loving guy. He enjoyed people. He enjoyed life. He liked to have fun and make people laugh. Up until the very end, he will definitely be missed." And I, you know, come on, man. That line is epic. We use that all the time. If you've ever played a first-person shooter or fighting game and not said that to your opponent, you're lying to me. And you know that you are. So watch that Cobra Kai episode. It's very, you know, introspective now. GRD, hey Bill, is licensed under the Creative Commons Attributions Non-Commercial Non-Derivative Works United States 3.0 license. Huh? You like that? Sounds better speeded up. You should go by and visit the websites and stuff, you know, geekradiodaily.com. I believe at this point, Carol the Cat has posted her Ed Asner review. Sorry, that's a Facebook joke. You had to be there. Follow us, talk to us, give us silly jokes yourself. Drop that note at podcast@geekradiodaily.com, or, of course, send a voicemail too.
510-GRD-CREW.
And we will see you next time.
Well, we have nothing big and flashy to show you this week.
Welcome to Nerd School. Nerd.
If that isn't an insult, I don't know what is.
Good night, suckers.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Excuse me. I'm Pepper Anderson. I don't know if you've been briefed.
Oh,
but...
yes, I do know. My friend Margie explained everything.
Good. Now, chances are nothing will happen. But if it does, follow the instructions exactly.
Oh, well, that seems simple enough. Now, if you want me to look scared, I'm sure I can manage that.
You and me both. These are the four people we're looking for.
I've seen her. The black girl. Here in the bank. Let me think.
Customer?
No.
Maybe she came in to cash a check.
No. Yes, that's it. New accounts.
Bill?
Yeah, Pep, what can I do for you?
Lorette Blake was in this bank on the 16th. She filled out a phony application.